Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Already Wednesday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, blogs go up on Wednesday, so there was a brand new one up there this morning, but you should swing by there on a regular basis just to see what the heck is going to show up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, come on, we know this by now, at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So now, humorously, Dan, and I mean, you and I will be the only one who understands this. Yesterday on the switchboard, it showed music was playing and we didn't get any music. Today, The dial didn't open the show and we got music. So I don't know. It's just kind of hit or miss now when we open up the podcast and if we're going to get to hear the intro or not. So you can always tune in for that. That's a fantastic way to start things off. So, you know, just the fun stuff. But, you know, Dan, I was kind of perusing, you know, just the different kind of fun stuff that goes on. And, you know, I'm not the biggest LeBron James fan in the world like, you know, some people are. I mean, obviously he's a great player and I'll never deny that. You know, he'll go down as one of the greatest of all time, but he'll never be better than Michael Jordan in my eyes just because of the cowardly way he had to go get his first championship. But another reason for me just to kind of pile on and dislike him a little bit, and I, you know, maybe this is just the new athlete and it's something, you know, I should have to adjust to. But after his game last night, they asked him about who should be the MVP. And who was his pick, Dan?
Himself,
there you go. He said, the body of work, how I'm doing it, what's been happening with our team all year long, how we've got so many injuries and things of that nature, guys in and out to be able to still keep this thing afloat, I definitely would vote for me. You know, Dan, I understand when you're a great athlete, there's a little bit of arrogance involved, you know, one way or the other. Don't you kind of have to learn how to control this a little bit and, you know, kind of rein it in and, you know, that kind of stuff? I mean, there would probably be a better way for him to kind of hint that he believes he should be the MVP, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to go out and put all that work into it, and I would just say me.
So, yeah, well, that's how you are, you know. So yeah, you know, it was just kind of, you know, and again, like it's fantastic that, you know, you think you should be the MVP. Sadly, you're not, because James Harden is having a fantastic year and, his team is doing better than yours. So that automatically means he's the MVP and you're not, cause you need to be on a, not that LeBron is on a bad team, but Harden's team is the best team in the West and you're not going to beat that there. And to be fair, James Harden is having a better year than LeBron James. Now, he does have Chris Paul to help him. But that's not James Harden's fault, because he's not his team's GM like LeBron is. So, you know, I mean, isn't the reason for, like, the Cavaliers' struggles early in the season pretty much on LeBron? Because they got the guys he wanted, right, Dan? I mean, he wanted to play with Dwayne Wade. He didn't have an issue with Kyrie Irving being traded for Isaiah Thomas, right? I mean, it's kind of on him.
Well, and you forgot bringing in Derrick Rose.
Yes. So. So yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting that, you know, he has reigned himself MVP while, you know, Harden's team is the best in the West, which includes the Golden State Warriors, by the way, in case people kind of forgot that they still play in the West. While LeBron's team, what is LeBron currently anyways? I don't even know here. They are the third best team in the Eastern Conference, and oddly, a half a game ahead of the Pacers and just a game ahead of the Sixers. So, you know, they could quickly be the fifth best team in the Eastern Conference. So I don't know if, you know, considering it's a regular season award, and let me emphasize that, regular season award, does the guy on the fifth best or possibly the fifth best team in the Eastern Conference deserve that award over the guy whose team is the best in the West, who's having a statistically better year? You know, I mean, it's not baseball where we just hand or to. Yeah, you know, it's not baseball where we just hand the award to Mike Trout regardless of what anybody else does. So,
you know, why do they only have one?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it is interesting. Maybe they should have a Western Conference and an Eastern Conference MVP. You know, kind of like baseball has AL and NL. Yeah, you know, I'm guessing it probably started out before they had so many teams. So, you know, it wasn't divided like this. It was just one conference. So, you know, my guess, that's just a guess. I don't know how factual that is, but, you know, that's kind of what I'm going with there, unless somebody else knows. So. But yeah, that would be interesting now that we have so many teams to do a Western Eastern Conference and a Western Conference MVP. I never even really thought of that. So you should suggest that to Adam Silver and see what he says.
I was gonna say it doesn't speed up the pace of play, but that's the wrong one.
Yeah, wrongly. So, you know. But, yeah, you know what I mean? Oddly, you know, you bring in, like, you know, LeBron's points. You know, if he's the MVP, doesn't that make, like, a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo even a more impressive MVP candidate because he's carrying a Milwaukee team into the playoffs basically the same way LeBron is? And, you know, I think with Kevin Love, LeBron has a better – second fiddle, you know, Robin, however you want to describe this guy, than any of the guys Antetokounmpo has on the Bucks. So wouldn't that make Antetokounmpo the MVP in LeBron's thinking?
Yeah, well, you know why he needs it. He needs it. It's not that he wants it, he needs it. Because then he's tied for fifth, or tied for second with five overall, with against Bill Russell and Jordan.
Oh, okay. So, you know, yeah,
you know, if you start your campaigning now, like he did, so eloquently did, seeing you since 1981 season, the award was decided by a panel of sports writers.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even know how is it still voted on like that now? I don't even know. I pay so little attention to what the you know, what or how the NBA does their frickin' you know, their frickin' voting. I could care less.
Yeah, I mean, it's been that way since the 80-81 season and prior to that, from the 55-56 season to 79-80, it was voted on by the players.
Ah.
which I think they should go back to.
Yeah, you know, but the difficult part with that is how do you, you know, how do you kind of, you know, what, you know, because, you know, the sad part is, you know, they're not going to vote, honestly. So, you know, that's always such a, you know, such a pain to do. It's you know, it's kind of akin to the college coaches poll where you damn well know not one of those coaches is filling out the actual poll. It's just some, you know, intern, you know, that's going good, that's filling it out for them and sending it in. So, you know, just one of those fun, you know, one of those fun things. But yeah, I got a big kick out of that one when he was like, oh yeah, I should be the MVP. It's like, yeah, okay, shut up. Just shut up. I don't care how great of a player you are. You're a jackass. So, you know, go parade your talents back to South Beach or something next year. So, but, you know, and then, you know, while we're on basketball, Dan, you know, I'm guessing, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's times, you know, both you and I have kind of went and, you know, my mother used to say, you know, if it wasn't for bad luck, I would have no luck at all. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe, you know, maybe Isaiah Thomas is kind of starting to feel like that guy. You know, he had a great season in Boston last year. You know, he was 1 year away from reaching free agency. He was talking about how, you know, they were going to need to back the Brinks truck up to his front door. He gets that hip injury. You know, then he has the personal tragedy where his sister ends up passing away. You know, he does his rehab. He comes back. He's really nowhere close to the player that he was at one point in time, you know, with the Cavaliers that he was with the Celtics. You know, they give up on him rather quickly, you know, as a matter of fact. I mean, he got shipped off. I don't even know if he did even, you know, I think he played all of, I got to look it up here now because it didn't seem like he even got the 20 games with the Cavaliers, and I just realized I looked up the wrong Isaiah Thomas. Whoops. You know, well, that'll happen, right? You know, there are two guys with that name. But, yeah, I know, you know, he didn't play that many games. They only signed him. He actually played 15 games as a member of the Cavaliers before they shipped him off to the Lakers. Now, you know, he had been playing a little better with the Lakers. You know, the scoring average wasn't quite the 28.9 it was with the Celtics, but it was 15-6. It was improving. He had talked about possibly re-signing there, going in free agency, and all of a sudden, Dan, he's got that hip problem coming back up. And he's going to have another surgical procedure. They called it minor and invasive, but it is still surgery. Dan, give me a dollar figure on how much money this guy cost himself by getting hurt.
I don't really know, 10 mil, but I mean, you can't. It's not like he did it on purpose.
No, but, you know, I mean, it's yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you don't go out and try to get injured intentionally, but, you know, teams are going to look at this when they, you know, they go to sign him next year. You know, I mean, are we going to run into a situation where, you know, almost a little bit like we are in baseball, you know, he's going to think he deserves this much money and teams just aren't going to give it to him because of the injury?
Yeah, I could see that. 100%.
You know, because, I mean, obviously, you know, there's only, you know, 10 or so regular season games left. You know, so he won't be back this year. You know, he'll go into the free agent market, you know, a little bit in limbo. You know, like they describe the surgery here, Dan, as a cleanup. So yeah, we'll have to see how that works out as a cleanup goes. You know, kind of like Kyrie had minimal and invasive knee surgery. I've had minimal invasive knee surgery before. It's not minimal or invasive. So, So, but it's still, you know, a 4 to 6 week, sometime 8 week recovery, depending on, you know, how things kind of work out. So I guess maybe that's minimal to them. Of course, the fact that he has professional, you know, rehab people, and I had, I don't even want to get into that, but, you know, just kind of, you know, that stuff. At least I wasn't Derrick Rose, and I was able to rehab and get back, you know, rather quickly for me. I don't know, Dan. I mean, are we looking at the possibility of his future being in doubt here, you know, as an NBA player, or, you know, because obviously you got to wonder if the hip bothered him all year and maybe he should have sat out even longer.
Probably should have sat out longer. But, I mean, what are you going to do now?
Yeah, well, there's not much to do now except, you know, try to recover and get better, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're kind of past the point of no return. And I know you would sing the Kansas song right now if you actually knew who Kansas was. And, you know, that would be a different story. So...
Well, I mean, do you think the Lakers bring him back, or? Well, I guess
you know, obviously that's going to be the biggest question, you know, of the off season, because obviously if LeBron goes there, does LeBron want to play with him again? You know, I mean, it didn't work really well in Cleveland. I mean, it seems like, you know, Thomas hasn't had any issue playing with Lonzo Ball. Remember at first when they talked about it, he complained quite a bit about not wanting to come off the bench. He hasn't had a problem with coming off the bench. So, you know, we'll have to see if, you know, something like that continues. I would think right now, you know, barring where LeBron ends up and all that other kind of BS, I would say he probably ends up back with the Lakers on a, you know, maybe a 1 or 2 year deal as they try to develop, you know, develop the team and figure out where they're going and, you know, when they're going to draft LiAngelo next year. Oh, no, wait a minute. We'll have to see how that goes too. So, but yeah, you know, it could be interesting, you know, and obviously, you know, the Lakers have actually been eliminated from the playoffs. You know, now we talked about Cleveland a little bit. They've clinched their spot. Sitting in third right now, they would actually draw the Washington Wizards as a first-round playoff matchup. You know, Dan, I think the Wizards have played better than anyone expected. They're 41-33. You know, I don't even think John Wall has returned yet. They're still kind of trucking along. Do you think there's any chance at all they pull off an upset and we send Cleveland home early and we can be done with LeBron, or will the NBA just kind of make sure that doesn't happen and LeBron continues on? Because obviously we know, you know, they want to see either Cleveland and Golden State or Cleveland and Houston in the finals. So do they dirty their hands and get in there and make sure Cleveland gets to where they need them to go?
Well, you can't dirty your hands at what you didn't see, right?
Right.
But
obviously you can,
you know,
kind of, you can influence the officials who you pay to see things that aren't there.
Well, no, that's what I meant. They might not see stuff. But I mean, I would like to see Washington take it over, but I think it goes at least 6 games. And, you know, if that's the matchup, I see 6 games and Cleveland wins.
Yeah, you know, and I know, sometimes I joke, honestly, the NBA is easily the dirtiest sport out of the big four. You know, you can say what you want about football and baseball. It's actually cool to steal signs. You just can't do it with technology. The NBA at times is just flat out dirty because they need certain teams to advance for their television contracts and, you know, all that other fun stuff. I mean, you know, I know Toronto has the best record in the Eastern Conference. but there's absolutely nobody except Raptor fans who want to see Toronto in the NBA Finals. The league doesn't want to see it there. The television carriers don't want to see them there. You know, it's just not a marketable draw. And trust me, they'll make sure Toronto doesn't get there. You know, they would rather have, obviously they won Cleveland, but, you know, they would take Boston or Philly just because of, you know, the name value. So, you know, it's always kind of, you know, and I don't enjoy watching NBA basketball anyways, because let's face it, it's terrible. But, you know, it's always kind of humorous come playoff time how certain things get called that you don't remember being called at any other time. And it always seems to go against that one team. So.
Oh, you mean like traveling?
Yeah.
or up and down.
But yeah, you know, look. Yeah, stuff that we never hear. You know, looking here, Dan, it looks like about every team is inside 10 games left to play. Now, do you like the fact that, like, a team like Philadelphia is actually on a roll? They've won 7 in a row. Do you like the fact that they're kind of rolling going into the playoffs, or do you think it's still maybe a little too early? It looks like they have 9 games left on their schedule. Would you rather get hot, say, the last 3 or 4, or could you go in on a big roll? You know, I mean, it's more kind of strict for a team like Philly. I know, you know, Houston has won 10 in a row, but they've kind of been rolling all year. You know, Philly's a young team. They're finally going to get to the playoffs after trusting the process. Do you like the fact that they're rolling, or would you like to maybe they drop a couple and they get on a streak and they go in winning, say, 3 in a row? Is that something you'd rather see?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's, well, with a young team, I don't want to say they should play down, but I think they should just keep going.
You know, and I mean, you know, it may be the fact they don't really, yeah, you know, they don't know how to, you know, kind of dial it back, you know, because obviously this is brand new for them. So,
because, you know, we've seen and then, you know, come out of Washington.
Yeah, you know, and I know teams, you know, there are teams that try to finagle that position, especially in the Eastern Conference. In the West, it could be tough to do because you could finagle yourself right out of a playoff spot. But like in the East, the Bucks actually have a 5-game lead over the Pistons. The Bucks are in 8th. The Pistons are in 9th. So, you know, it could be tough. And, you know, you try to set up your matchup, you know, because like Cleveland, I think, would probably prefer to stay in 3rd and play Washington than move up to 2nd and play Miami. You know, even though Miami is in 7th place, I think that's a little tougher matchup for them. And you know they don't want to drop to 4 or 5 where they would have to play, be it probably Indiana. You know, that's not a matchup they want. You know, nobody wants to go 7 freaking games in the first round. So, but yeah, you know, in the West, if you try to finagle your playoff spot, you could end up finagling yourself out of the playoffs. Right now, Dan, the Timberwolves are hanging on. You know, they've got a game and a half lead over the 9th place team. They going to hang on? Tom Thibodeau going to get him in the playoffs even without Jimmy Butler, who may be back soon?
I think they hang on. It would be cool to see them hit the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, and again, it's, you know, it's another one of those weird situations. While they're a game and a half of the 9th place team, they're actually just 2 games out of being in 4th place. So that's how close the bottom of the Western Conference is right there. You know, you could, you know, bet, you know, like the Timberwolves have dropped a couple games in a row. You know, obviously they need to end that skid or they're going to end up, you know, on the outside looking in. You know, the Clippers are the 9th place team. They've managed to win a couple games. So, but yeah, it's funny because the teams, you know, like Oklahoma City is the 4th place team and you go down it and it's like, they've lost 1 in a row. New Orleans has dropped 2 in a row. San Antonio's dropped 2 in a row. Utah's got a 1-game winning streak. The Timberwolves lost 2 in a row. The Clippers have won 2 in a row, and Denver has lost 2 in a row. So they're all in this goofy little microcosm of kind of trying to occupy the same space for, you know, the same, what is it, five spots for seven teams, and none of them can seem to get on any type of roll here. So I guess it makes it interesting down the stretch, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, for Minnesota, I would hope to move up a spot or maybe not even make the playoffs going against Houston.
Yeah, you know, that's obviously, you know, you look at it, I mean, you know, if you get the enjoyment of finishing seventh or eighth in the West, you know, obviously the eighth seed is going to draw Houston, and then the seventh seed is going to get Golden State. And while it does look like Steph Curry is going to miss the first round of the playoffs, everybody else, you know, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and the other cast characters are going to be back and healthy. So you still get the enjoyment of dealing with that. You know, so yeah, I don't know if finishing seventh or eighth in the West is actually an award, is it?
No. Not really. I mean, I think with Golden State, you might play longer. Just because I feel like with the experience that they have and the veterans, they might draw the series out. Or, well, you know, on the other side of it is they've been known to just sweep in the playoffs. So I guess I was wrong with what I was saying.
So, yeah, you know, again, it's like, cool, you can say, yes, I'm a playoff team and I got to play four games against the Rockets or the, you know, or the Warriors. We got in the playoffs, but we only lasted four games. So, you know, just kind of how it goes there. So,
yeah, but I mean, in the same token, I don't know if, you know, obviously not being in one of the four majors, but, you know, equating it to pro wrestling and, you know, your first time being a champion, winning the championship is a lot different than any time afterwards. So I think maybe there is some truth into for Minnesota making their first year of playoffs and kind of get to see the feel of the game, so to speak. I don't know if that helps them out. Better prepare them for next year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I believe that's kind of the thing they'll say. You know, it was a learning experience. You know, we learned what it was like to be into the playoffs. And yeah, you know, I mean, you never know. Maybe it does help, or you know, it gives them an opportunity to kind of see what, you know, they want to become. So.
Well, and I think what it comes down to is maybe more of a state of mind. You know, because if you think about it, being in the West, obviously the Timberwolves have gone up against Golden State and Houston, and you know, with the teams like Golden State and Houston, the way they've been playing, you go into those stadiums, you know where you are. You know, your fans really haven't traveled to come see. Well, they, you know, there might be a handful, but not in groves like the home team. So I think that experience doesn't really change, but I think maybe it's more of a mental state. You know, kind of get the first one out of the way, and then after that, everything gets a little easier.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So I know we were looking to segue into something else. I don't know where you were going, but, you know, I wanted to just bring up your blog today. I don't think it's the wrong way, but I skimmed through the NFL stuff, and I think, you know, that's just me. Because when I turn on the radio, sports radio, in the mornings and sometimes after our show's over if I'm running late, if they start talking football, I'm just like, tuning out. I don't know. It's just one of those things. So the Odell Beckham stuff, you know, I think it's more funny on the token that, you know, like you mentioned, a coach or an owner will come out and say one thing, but the media completely twisted into, oh, he's going to be traded. So but I think that's funny if you want to elaborate on that later. But what I really wanted to talk about and was what we were talking about before we started. And, you know, you brought up the sleepers. We actually talked about that yesterday, so obviously we're not going to get into that again. But with the fantasy leagues, and, you know, you mentioned, shoot, was it Monday when we were talking before, that you didn't get your fantasy draft grade. Neither did I, obviously, because we're in Yahoo. And, you know, I think when they do the season-ending surveys, we should throw that in there and try to get the rest of our league to add that in. But, you know, you mentioned that you guys are in the CBS, you and Mr. Fantasy, with the Money League, and you guys got an awesome grade this year, which, you know, when it comes to football and fantasy for us in Yahoo, the really bad grades sometimes do better than the really good grades, because, shoot, I got A's in my draft grades, and, yeah, I didn't make the playoffs in either league. But, you know, I don't know, what other kind of stuff do they add to it? Do they tell you why or how CBS gives you a grade, and maybe why you got the wonderful grade you guys received?
Yeah, what it's based on, and we got a D minus. Nobody in our league has ever gotten a D minus before. There have been some D's, but we actually got a D minus. And the way they base their grades on is where they have a player ranked to where you pick them. So, you know, it's all based on their rating of the player compared to where you draft a guy. And, like, one of the things we really got dinged on is I liked Austin Hayes, the outfielder for the Orioles. And, you know, he's actually been mentioned as a possible MVP candidate. Interestingly enough, the Orioles ended up sending him down. He's going to start the season in Double A, but I don't expect him to be there very long. It's probably just the you know, the month thing or whatever it is to extend his eligibility, like teams do. But, like, that was a big hit because I drafted him much higher than they had him rated. And, I ended up going with a lot of younger guys that they didn't like. Like, I drafted Lewis Brinson of the Marlins much earlier than they thought he deserved to be drafted. But we're talking about a kid who's going to be the starting everyday center fielder and get at bats. I took J.P. Crawford of the Phillies, who's going to be their starting shortstop. He's another Rookie of the Year candidate. He's been a top-rated prospect for, you know, a long time. And now these guys are all going to be on our bench. You know, we're not starting any of these guys. Like, I also grabbed Colin Moran of the Pirates, who's going to be their starting third baseman as a rookie. You know, just to kind of see, because we have such a big bench that, you know, you're allowed kind of this flexibility to take these chances and stuff. So, you know, I grabbed, you know, these three rookies earlier than they were rated as going, you know, and that really dinged us. And then they didn't like the fact that I took Hunter Pence. You know, he ended up giving us a bad grade, and it was just kind of like, oh, well, sorry, you know, he's Hunter Pence, and you know, I like them. And then, like, we actually got dinged right away early in our league. We were picking 14, and there's 16 teams in the league. So we took 14. There was the 15th pick, then 16 picks twice, 15 again, and the draft came right back to us. So 5 picks in between where we were picking. We took Brian Dozier in the first round, because we knew a first baseman would get back to us because there were a lot of them on the board at that time. So we took Brian Dozier first and Freddie Freeman second. And they hated the fact that we took Dozier in the first round. So we just got totally dinged for reaching out to do that, even though, you know, he's probably a top five second baseman, may even be top three in some books, you know, depending on how it kind of shuffles out. And yeah, they just ate us alive for stuff like that. And, you know, obviously there's no strategy involved in their rankings. It's just, they put the numbers up. This is the order you should take them, regardless of what else is on the board, you know, in those kind of situations. Cause like we skipped the guy, we took Elvis Andrews, and I don't remember what round it is, but we did the same thing with Andrews that we did with Dozier and Freeman. We wanted the shortstop because we knew the other pitch position, and I think it might have been starting pitching. We knew one of the guys we wanted were going to get back to us because, again, it was just 5 picks. But, you know, we ate that as a whole because, as you know, yesterday, it was yesterday or 2 days ago, according to reports, Andrews is going to be a bust because he's not going to be able to repeat what he did last year. So, you know, we kind of ate it for that because, well, I ate it for that because I was running the draft at that time. you know, I took him too early. And, you know, you damn well know, knowing Mr. Fantasy like you did, that the minute he saw that grade, he had a fit because I ran the draft.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you, too. did he contribute to that grade?
You know, well, you know, he was there for, like, the first, I don't know, five, maybe six picks he hung around before, because he's on, you know, as you know, he's on vacation. So, you know, I mean, I did the best I could to take as many first base eligible guys as I could get, because, you know, he loves first basemen. So I do have four guys on our roster who qualify at first base. So I hope he likes that. I mean, we only have 26 players. So, you know, a little less than 25% of our roster can play first base. So, you know, I was hoping that would kind of factor in. You know, we'll just have to, you know, have to kind of see how it works out. But, yeah, it was just very strange because, I mean, you know, looking at our team, and our starting lineup will look something like, you know, Freddie Freeman will be at first, Dozier at second, Andrews at short. We'll probably play Matt Chapman at third base. And then our outfield is Chris Davis of the A's, not the Oriole guy, Chris Davis of the A's, Jay Bruce, you know, and then depending on which way we want to go with an outfielder, it could be Lewis Brinson, who I actually really like. Hunter Pence is on our bench, and so is Malik Smith. So, you know, we have some options there. I mean, it doesn't sound like a terrible, you know, everyday lineup for a 16-team league. You know, I also managed to land Tim Beckham on our bench. I know he's got a little bit of a groin, but we don't need him to start right away, so he can recover. You know, I picked up Brandon Drury, who should have a solid year with the Yankees. But it was just more the order I picked these guys up in instead of, you know, who they are. So it was just kind of like, well, okay, cool. I got a D-minus. Let's see what happens. So
not year end grade, you know, performance plus, you know, season finish.
Yeah. You know, and you know, it's very much like the Yahoo League, you know, like when you get graded, you've mentioned that just because you get a bad grade doesn't mean you're going to suck, or just because you get a good grade. You know, last year, and I don't remember what one of the Yahoo leagues it was, they predicted my team to go like 12-3 or 11-4 or something like that. And I didn't finish 500 and didn't make the playoffs. So obviously the grading system is, it's just for fun, and it's based on the order they have it. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, even when I saw the grade, I just laughed. I knew it meant absolutely nothing. You know, it reminded me very much, and I think this was before you started, there used to be a local Chicago website that ranked the wrestlers every month. You know, they did the top 25 wrestlers in the Chicago area, and right at the top every month was the champions from every organization except the one you and I wrestled for because they didn't like us.
Well,
you know, and like there were guys.
Number one was always Legion of Doom or Road Warriors. Or
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Well, you know, and like there were guys on our roster who like took it personally, you know, like because we had a tag team, you know, they did like five tag teams. And there was a tag team that, you know, you and I know both guys really well. I don't want to, you know, bring out their names or anything here for any reason. But they just didn't matter. And they were good. It just didn't matter. They just couldn't get ranked. We did a tag tournament. I teamed with our friend Paulie Tomaselli, who was on the podcast way, way back in the beginning, you might remember. Him and I teamed together one time. And since they loved him and his brother Vito, they ranked us as one of the top five teams in the area. So, I mean, oddly, not to mention, you know, one of the guys who was running the website and doing the rankings now does a podcast with Vito and is very good friends with them. They lived in the same town. He used to drive them to wrestling events. So it was quite biased, like, you know, any ranking was. But I just used to laugh that guys would take it personally, and it would just be like, dude, it's nothing. You know, and that's kind of like these rankings are. It's fun to see what you get, but, you know, in the end, it doesn't matter. You know, like in our football league, my buddy Greg ended up winning both our leagues. I can guarantee you he didn't get the best draft grade in either league. So, you know, in the end, they're really just for fun. But, yeah, we definitely got to email Yahoo and be like, hey, you know, how come we don't get a draft grade for this? So,
you know, I mean, and it's not all about the grade. What I do enjoy, though, is, you know, kind of the breakdown they give you. You know, even with the end of the NFL season, you know, obviously I use the app a lot more than I use the go out, log on to the actual website. And of course, I've seen the stuff on my app, but when I went on the football page for whatever reason, my season ending story came up. And, you know, just reading on why they did what they did. And, you know, even with the draft, they tell you why they drafted this way, but, you know, what guys they think are going to stand out. And I kind of like that. It's kind of like you get your own personal scouting report for your team.
Yeah, this one, you know, like Yahoo's is really, you know, kind of in tune like that. This one isn't as, you know, they kind of lump everything together. You know, you don't get an individual one. They just kind of mosh all the league parts together. Let me see if I can find mine here, and I can actually tell you what they said about our draft here. And obviously just really, really, really short stint here on how they had it. Let's see. They said our best pick was Jay Bruce. I got him at 93, and they said they weren't expecting him to go until I got him at 93. They expected him to go, or no, I got him at 179. They expected him to go at 93. Then I get ripped for the Austin Hayes, and they actually just say by the projections, he should have went undrafted. So yeah, looking at the grade, there was a team that got a D. I got a D minus for my draft. And yeah, they rank the value of the players for me. It tells you where you picked them. You know, like we got Brian Dozier at 14, which is a negative 23 on his average pick. So, you know, he didn't score well for us. A couple other guys who hurt us, Archie Bradley, J.P. Crawford, and Austin Hayes were big negatives. No surprise there. Matt Chapman and Dominic Leone were big, big negatives for us. Oddly, Hunter Pence was actually a big positive. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's the way they had their players ranked and the way it, you know, it kind of works out for you. You know, they didn't like the order I grabbed these guys, and, you know, just kind of how it worked out. I mean, they did give us, let me see, we got a D plus for our infielders, a C plus for our outfielders, a C for our starting pitching, a D plus for our relievers, and a D for our hitters. Oddly, I don't know how that equaled a D minus, but, you know, hey, however they kind of work it out. You know, just, again, you know, one of those things, and, you know, it's all based on, you know, what they have set up or the order they have these guys ranked. You know, obviously I got to eat it a little bit because Austin Hayes got sent down, and that, you know, that cost me. You knew they were gonna ding me on that the minute that happened. But I'm trying to, let's see, I don't even know who got the highest grade. We had we actually had a guy get an A plus. Basically. All right, Dan. So here's what an A plus team looks like in our league. All right, his starting lineup is Buster Posey catching, Rhys Hopkins at first, Jonathan Scope at second, Travis Shaw at third, Trey Turner at short. His outfield is Ender Encarnacion, or Inciarte, depending on how I want to pronounce it. Aaron Judge, Eric Thames, and his utility guy is Ryan Braun. Those are his starters. For his pitching, he's going with Jake Arrieta, Johnny Cueto, Steven Motz, and Tanner Roark as his starters. His relievers are Michael Felice, Tyler Lyons, and Andrew Miller. So interestingly, he's probably not going to get any saves in week one. He did store Greg Holland on his bench, though, just to see if he possibly gets picked up. But yeah, that is an A-plus draft for a starting lineup in our league.
I'll be honest, I really like that starting lineup. So did he get to make his first 10 picks before everybody else? Or how the hell did he
He had the sixth pick in the draft, I believe. Or no, he had the seventh pick in the draft, I think. So let me see if I can actually find out where he ended up going. I can double check this real quick. So you got to remember, this is also the league where outfielders are very downtrodden. Actually, he picked 10th. So yeah, because here I can tell you, the guys who went before him, no surprise, Trout went first. Then it was Kershaw, Rizzo, Altuve, Scherzer, Kluber, Arenado, Bryant, Sale, and then he got Trey Turner at 10. So,
I mean, it's a pretty damn solid lineup, but you know, I agreed with the A-plus when the first guy off the bat was Buster Posey.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I knew you'd like that one. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, while it's a good team, you know, I don't really think it's that much better than ours. You know, I mean, I definitely think our starters are as good as his, and our bullpen is much better than his. So, you know, again, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, we'll have to, you know, get to see how it shakes out, and, you know, in the end, what, you know, what does it really mean? So,
yeah.
You know, but I did want to ask you, in all your drafts, Dan, you didn't end up with Val Perez, did you?
No. Did something
Yeah,
happen?
I don't know if you saw. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, you didn't see this one. He is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks because he tore his MCL. Oddly enough, Dan, he tore the MCL when he slipped carrying his luggage.
I was going to say, there was no baseball on today. I checked.
Right. So he has a grade 2 tear, and he explained that the injury actually occurred inside his home. I don't think a lot of people were expecting the Royals to be contenders anyways, but this is a huge blow to them. You know, he was probably their best everyday player. And, now he's gone. So, you know, just got a little tougher. And, you know, obviously I know he was probably a highly selected fantasy catcher, you know, Buster Posey obviously being number one. You know, there's probably a few other guys who went ahead of him, but he's definitely a top five, you know, top five catcher. I don't believe I have him in any of our drafts. I'm going to have to go through and, you know, check. I'm going to double check my lineups tomorrow morning when I get home to make sure I have, everybody set and everybody ready to go. Cause you know, you got to shuffle those pitchers around and make sure you get your starters in. So, but yeah, I mean, he's, how big of a loss is he, Dan, not only to the Royals, but to fantasy owner?
I think it's a pretty big loss because, you know, especially when it comes to catching. Well, in our league, you were looking for that solid everyday guy, and you just lost your starting catcher. you know, I didn't end up with him. I don't know. I don't think he just got around to me. Oddly, for whatever reason, in the three that we're in together, I have Lucroy.
Oh, in all three?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that was just some kind of, you know, I don't know, some kind of weird thing that I just had in my mind. Because, you know, in the auction, I did get Buster because, you know, I'm not allowed to draft him in the first round of the snake draft.
Right.
But, you know, I took Buster. I took Posey in that one, but I also, you know, I knew I needed a backup catcher. Plus, you know, with Buster qualifying at first, I knew I could, you know, have both of them in if need be. And then, you know, I didn't know I was annoying you by picking LaCroix in the ESPN league. But that happened.
Yeah, he was the catcher I was. Yeah, he was the catcher I was waiting for, and you took him, you jerk. So.
Yeah. And then I do believe in the snake, and then in the ESPN, I have Chris Iannetta as my catcher, too. So
yeah.
I always try to carry.
Oddly, I always carry two, and it's a good thing I did. What league was it? I think it was the Snake League. I'm gonna double check here while I have the chance. But yeah, I believe the Snake League. I went with JT Realmuto, and yeah, they put him on the 10-day DL, Dan. So I don't even have that going for me. I have JT Realmuto on the DL already. It's like, damn it. I haven't even played a game. I got guys on the DL. So,
did they put out there why he's on the 10-day?
I can tell you what they went with here. Let me click the little icon and see what it says. Come on, give me my pop up here, jerks. You want to give it to me all the time. Now it doesn't want to come up. He has a bone bruise in his back.
Ooh, I don't even. That's a new one.
So, yeah, and then if you are looking to set your lineup and everything for, you know, tomorrow, you know, you're going to get in, you're going to do it ahead of time, know that the Nationals-Reds game has already been postponed. So you
can
make your adjustments there. Yeah, they've already decided with the way the weather is going to be that they will be pushing that game back to Friday. So
are they still having the parade, or is that only on Sunday?
You know, I don't know. I haven't seen if they were going to do that. I was actually emailing Schomburg Stu about that. I thought it was kind of disappointing that Major League Baseball traded the tradition in Cincinnati away for money. You know, because it used to be where the Reds always, you know, the Reds always did opening day. That was the thing. They had the first game every year in Cincinnati, and you know, it was basically a city holiday. You know, they used to give the kids off the day off school and all that kind of stuff. And then when they sold the contract to the Mickey Mouse Network, They didn't want that. They didn't want Cincinnati to be that team, because you're going to open up the season, Dan. You got to have who play the first game?
The Red Sox and Yankees.
Yep. Yeah. Either them against each other or one of those games. I believe now that the Cubs are winning, it's actually in vogue to have them play as well. So yeah, Cincinnati kind of lost out on what was a really fun baseball tradition, and I know they still do it. It just kind of lost a tad bit of the meaning now that, you know, there's no parade or anything with it. So,
well, I think they're still going to do the parade. I just don't think it's as much of a hoopla that it used
to be. Yeah, you know, I hope they do.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned that the Reds and the Nats are going to be postponed. Obviously, the weather's going to be great down in Miami. Fortunately, my boss is on vacation. And the other guys will be at lunch when the Cubs' first pitch takes on about 11:30 tomorrow. So
yeah,
I'll be streaming.
Asleep, so.
I don't know how I'm going to stream it, but you know, it's. I don't know if I get it through the MLB app or if I have to go to the mothership or NBC Sports. I don't know where it's going to be. So, but I'll have that baby on.
Yes, one way or another, you will find it, right?
Yeah, one way or another. And then when I get home, I'm going to drive my wife nuts with whatever game's on also.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be going on through the night.
Yeah, you know, that's hot. You know, I'm sure, like, you know, I'll make sure I fire up the Roku and get, you know, ESPN going, because I believe they're carrying the game, right? The good old Mickey Mouse Network,
yeah.
That's the first game there. So, you know, I'll make sure that's on. You know, so when I wake up, I can just pick up right where it left off. So, you know, that'll be a you know, a fun start for my day. And you know, I know, you know, they're showing multiple games, I believe, tomorrow. You know, they go one right to the other on opening day. So that's a plus. And, you know, I don't know if the MLB Network is carrying anything. I don't think, now that we're back to ATT Uverse here, I don't believe I get the extra innings package. So, yeah, here you go, Dan. We start with Cubs Marlins. Then at 2:30, they go to Astros Rangers. 6 o'clock, you get Giants Dodgers, Dan. So we'll get that during the podcast. And then the night wraps up with Cleveland at Seattle.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you know, I should have taken Friday off. Oh, well.
Yeah. Aren't you feeling sick?
Yeah, I think, yeah, don't I? I'm starting to sound sick, aren't I? So,
yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see. But, yeah, I, you know, should be, you know, it's always fun to kind of get that fired up and get it going, and you know, it's like cool. So I am excited to see what becomes, and I don't know, I think I mentioned it yesterday, I will be putting our predictions in the Saturday blog. I didn't do it today. I will do that Saturday, so you can see everything I'm going with. I do have 3 out of the 4. We're still waiting for our straggler to show up with his picks. And, you know, even if I don't get him, I'll still put the 3 that Dan and Schomburg. But yeah, just the fun, you know, the fun stuff I deal with, that's what I get to do. So you got the Cubs sweeping this first series, Dan, they're going to go in and take 3 games.
yeah. And Silent Cash is going to hit home runs all weekend.
I did decide in that sandal thing you sent me, I decided to, I was going to use John Lester in early game, so I couldn't use it. Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's not in there.
Oh, right. Well, the music man and I are going to take off. Dan is holding up our preparing for opening day tomorrow. You know, the deal while we're gone, though. Actually, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30, believe it or not, even with games going on. But while we're gone, you know what to do. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog. Went up this morning. Get over there and read it. Link to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Feel free to hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like. And as always, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can go listen to the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com.
Sports Time Radio.